We are live in the KRFY studios with the main players in this the play that's coming up at the Panada. It's called Red Hot Patriots, and it's about Texas. But before we get to that, we have people in the studio we'll be talking to in a moment. The weather from the National Weather Service. It's currently 66 degrees. It looks like today's going to be sunny, high of 89. Northwest winds 5 to 8 miles per hour. Tonight, areas of smoke after 11 p.m. Clear with low, with a low around 57, meaning clear, no rain. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tomorrow, areas of smoke before 11 a.m., sunny with a high near 93, light and variable winds. So we do know that we have fire in the air. We can see it, we can feel it, we can smell it. So be careful if you're out in the woods. And again, this is Wednesday morning, July 8th, here in the studios of KRFY, and we are live. My name is Susie Prez, and I'm here with three people who are part of the play Red Hot Patriot that's coming up at the Panada. I'd like to introduce Miriam Robinson. You are the star of the play. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And Patricia Walker-White, executive director of the Panada and co-producer of this play.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Ron Rigoni, director and co-producer.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's nice to have all of you here to talk about this play. A little bit about it. It's about a very special woman named Molly Ivins, who was from Texas, and that's why we played the song. So why don't any of you just kind of give an overview of the play, and then we can go into a little more specifics.
Okay, well, this was a play, basically a one-woman play. However, there is another character in the cast, and it's Conrad Mearns. He's not here right now, but he plays a very important role. He's one of those people that comes on, does not have a word to say, but yet his presence speaks volumes. As far as the play is concerned, it was something that was brought to my attention by my wife, who had seen it being played in Hollywood by none other than Kathleen Turner. And it got rave reviews. As a matter of fact, my wife came home raving, and so I thought, gee, maybe I should look at this. And I read the play, and I have to tell you, it is really powerful.
So what's powerful about it? I mean, the woman herself was a well-known journalist that didn't say the normal things, really came out as a very special voice for not only women, but maybe someone else can tell me a little bit more about her. What drew you to this part, Miriam?
I can relate to her.
Oh?
I grew up in the South. I have a lot of the traditions instilled in me, the pride in country and patriotism. And it's not necessarily taking a side so much one way or the other. It's just making sure we're doing something out there. Molly was a very strong advocate against apathy, and that was her main point. While she was a very strong liberal, actually an extreme liberal, she had the ability to respect others' opinions, as long as they were doing what they believed in to promote what they believed was best for this country, she could support that and she could get behind that. And I appreciated the fact that she did things for women in journalism that had never been done before.
I think one of the things that stood out for me is really growing up in a very conservative family, and she became such a spokesperson for being open and liberal. I just wonder how that came about. What lived in her that said no to that and yes to the path she went down?
There was a lot of basic rebellion built in from childhood. But again, respect was so strongly instilled, for parent and country, and that rather than, she was in an environment where she couldn't speak until she was able to get out on her own. And then when she finally learned her voice, she went out there full and strong, and everything that she had had pent up in her entire life, it went out there. She was a rebel at heart.
So this play, Red Hot Patriot, Patricia, it's playing at the Panada. What, tell us about, how to access that play.
So you can get tickets online at www.panada.org, or you can go into the POAC Art Gallery. They have tickets available, and Eve's Leaves does as well. And so it starts this Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and next Friday and Saturday at 7:30, and then we're going to have a special Sunday show at 3 next Sunday.
So Friday and Saturday nights this week and
this
next
week. And next week.
And then a matinee this Sunday.
No, next Sunday.
The next Sunday.
The next Sunday, the final show.
There are a couple other places to get tickets. Pedro's and Eichhardt's.
Okay.
We'll also have them available. Plus, they will be able to purchase them, should there be any available, at the box office at the time of the show.
Sure. And you're playing, I know the Panada's going through, has started the renovation on the ceiling.
Yes.
So this will be taking place in the smaller theater.
Yes, the construction noise will be kept at a minimum so we can definitely, but we just started the ceiling restoration. We have the scaffolding going in, so I'm going to start posting those pictures on our Facebook and hopefully on our website by the end of the week.
Just to get off the subject of the play a little bit, talking about the renovation, how long is that slated to take?
All of August, all of July and all of August.
Okay, we'll come back in with a brand new ceiling in September.
Yeah, we're going to do a little sneak peek party.
Okay, that will be fun. So back to the play. This is The Red Hot Patriot, about the life and times of Molly Ivins, who was from Texas and was a journalist and really stood for the liberal voice in Texas, mm-hmm. which is a pretty strong, you have to be a strong person to do that.
She was definitely not the majority in that state. She was a very intelligent woman. As I said, she broke the mold in journalism for women. She was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize twice. Her book, She Can't Say That, Can She?, actually was on the New York Best Sellers list for 29 weeks. When she wrote an article in the New York Times, it actually broke a record for sales at 14 years. So from 63 to 77, she actually, her article alone, put her up at the forefront, got her known, and she went straight out, took that power and that knowledge and ran with it. She got to know people on both sides of the party and both sides of the fence. It was important.
To live into the part of Molly Ivins, what did you read her books and read everything you could? Have you seen clips of her life, you know, videos?
I did. I tried to stay away from watching versions of her and instead watched her herself. And she was very dry in her humor, but she, I guess the best way to describe her as, she was just that quiet mouse that roared in its sense. So in following her, I was able to relate with a lot of the things that I grew up with and to take that there. And my admiration and respect for her outspokenness, her tolerance for other things. I mean, she made fun of the right wing and such, but at the same time, as long as you were doing something, like I said, and she was out there to support you. She just wanted people out there doing something. Apathy is the worst thing that this country could ever have, in her words.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing that I particularly admired about Molly is that she broke into an industry that was all male at the time. And, of course, this is brought out very, very clearly in the play. There was an interesting analogy to what was referred to as the Ginger Rogers syndrome, where she had to match the great Fred Astaire step by step, only she had to do it backwards and in high heels. And this is pretty well what Molly or any other breakthrough woman that got into the quote-unquote good old boys club, she had to do it twice as good as anybody else. And she did. Molly was very, very successful.
How was she looked at by her colleagues in Texas? I mean, she wrote for the Houston paper, the Houston Chronicle.
Oh, she worked for just about every newspaper in Texas.
The New York
Times.
Starting
with the Texas Observer to the Houston Chronicle and finally finishing up at the Dallas Times Herald. I'm sorry, I'm not the best at these
interviews. Well, when she got to the New York Times, she definitely was a fish out of water mm-hmm. in a situation like that. However, she was successful. She even was the first woman to have a regular gig on 60 Minutes, back when 60 Minutes was in its infancy.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. So she had that experience also.
That's right.
So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, she had learned that humor was the best way to go about getting people to listen. You know, people weren't really listening to women back then, period. But if they started laughing, well, maybe she had something to say, and if maybe we didn't agree to her, maybe we could be entertained. And so that was her venue, as to get people to start listening and take it from there.
So it sounds like those that will be coming to the play this weekend and the next weekend will get a humorous approach to the life and times of Molly Ivins.
Yes, there's a... It's based on her kick-ass wit, as they say. Ooh, pardon me. Donkey wit. And there's some very poignant points in there. And even though it takes place in our past, it's still very, very relevant to today. And it's not all political. Some of it is personal. And things that, like I say, other people can relate to, from love to family relationships.
I selected Miriam for this particular role because I've had an opportunity to work with her on stage a couple of times, but I was particularly moved by a very riveting performance. She performed right here at the Little Theater, so she's at home there. It was called The Counselor. It was Teresa Pesce's play, and Miriam just, well, she lit up the stage.
Well, and that was one of the great reasons we wanted to, you know, when we were talking about doing the Panada Playhouse and bringing theater back to the Panada, that was prominent that she had done such an amazing job there before that we needed to have her back. So that's a commitment on the part of the Panada, is to start getting more theater back on those stages, and what a way to do it. Mm-hmm. She's doing a phenomenal job in this play.
Well, the Panada is where I got my very first little role. Nice. Working with Teresa Pesce there.
Nice.
And so it has little heartstrings for me. I enjoy being back there. It's been a little while, and it has an intimacy that really lends well to this play, and it was a personal choice of mine to be there.
Patricia, you were talking about the Panada Playhouse. So this is a new kind of concept, or a way of looking at bringing the Panada back into some kind of a new thought.
Yes, and, you know, I've been missing community theater a lot. We have some great community theater up here in Sandpoint, but hadn't had it on the Panada stages, so this was the concept. Whether it happens on the large stage or the small stage, it's part of the Panada Playhouse that we help present local talent and local community theater.
It sounds like we'll be able to see more of that in the future as time goes on.
Absolutely. Planned several things coming up.
All right. So. Well, that's exciting. And we're talking about the play that's coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Next weekend, the 17th and 18th, Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday
the 9th.
On the 19th at 4 p.m.
From 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m. It says 4 there. Okay. This is going to be exciting. It's a one-of-a-kind play. How much time did it take Miriam to learn all the words? Because if it's one person basically on stage, the only person that says anything for what, an hour and a half?
Well, if you count the lines going through my head during my sleep, about 24 hours a day, for the past 3-4 months, it's been a lot. But it's kind of like telling your own story, just with somebody else's words specifically. But I relate to a lot of this.
So you live into the character so much that it just starts becoming your story and you're just telling it.
She's fun. Mm-hmm. I admire her. To be her for just a little while, that's quite an honor.
So you're having a really good time doing this.
Oh, most definitely. It's a fabulous role.
Basically a one-woman play about the life and times of Molly Ivins, called The Red Hot Patriot. It will be at the Panada Little Theater as part of the Panada Playhouse series. And Patricia, I didn't realize that you had a theater background.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now you are co-producing this with Ron Rigoni, and Ron, you are director.
Yes.
Okay. And how is that going?
Well, that is quite fun. You know, it as a director, oftentimes they have to tell their people to get into their character.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have to do that with Miriam. She pretty well had that down pat. Again, because of her background, which was so very similar to Molly Ivins. And so she's making things easy for me. There are a couple of things.
Okay.
And
So we'll have beer and wine available for people to come enjoy and hang out and kind of talk a little bit and see the portion of the art gallery that will be open that's part of Art Walk. So we even have the art of Patricia Ragone right as you enter the theater. And then there's no intermission to this show because once it gets going, it's she needs to stay in character. So we're going to do our little socializing, and then afterwards we'll allow you to meet and greet the actor and the director.
This sounds really exciting. It makes me want, just thinking about Molly Ivins, you know, breaking into journalism in the 1960s, the first woman in that way with such a voice, a large Texas voice, and with probably a really twangy Texas accent, too. And I read a little bit, Miriam, that you really took on that accent.
Well, I am a Southerner born and raised, and I was really worried about the accent, you know, as any actress would be. But in reading about East Texas, it's the South, somewhat, as they say, even more so than it's more like the old South than the present South is now. It was settled by people who migrated over from Mississippi and Louisiana and such. And, of course, I lived out in Louisiana, my family being from New Orleans, Virginia, North Carolina, is where I was raised. And so I just decided just to let my own tongue come through, and it works.
It's a natural. I can hear it right here in the studios of KRFY. There is a little thing that we can mention that, you know, she was a firecracker, and she probably used language that we won't use here on the air, but the play does have that language in it because that's who she was, so just so everyone knows that ahead of time. This is the Red Hot Patriot. She really believed in the country. And standing up and making it a better place. It sounds like she was willing to go out on a limb in conservative Texas and say what she needed to say.
And it wasn't so much. It's not really, I don't want people to get the idea that it's about one side of the fence or the other. It's mm-hmm. just about getting a discussion started.
Exactly. You have to do something. Mm-hmm. And that was her big thing. She devoted her life to it. She never married. Mm-hmm. She had a love, great love, but once he passed, she was never the same, and she ended up marrying her patriotism, basically. Mm-hmm.
Her truth. And mm-hmm. and then the whole thing is, if you believe in something, stand up for it and make
exactly.
it happen.
Exactly.
Work on it.
Exactly. And she worked with both sides. I mean, that was the point. It's not about what's right or wrong or left or right. It's about coming together for the good of the people.
There's an underlying theme here, other than what we were just talking about. There was an adversarial situation between Molly and her father. And this adversarial relationship permeates throughout the entire play. We see him as one of the beginning things. We hear about him at the beginning of the play, and we also hear about him at the end of the play. And sprinkled inside the play, her father keeps coming to her mind. So this is something that was on Molly's mind for probably, I would imagine, the most of her life, wanting to get her father's approval.
Is that the part that Conrad Mernz plays?
No. Mm-hmm. Conrad Mernz is, quote, unquote, the copy kid. I'm not going to go into mm-hmm. any of his activity mm-hmm. on the stage because I'll be giving too much away. Mm-hmm. But there's something that the audience can glean from every one of his entrances mm-hmm. on the stage.
But her relationship with her father weaves through the whole play.
Oh, throughout the play.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else we want to say? Except sounds exciting.
It's hot outside, and come in and cool down and be entertained and support local community theater.
I think that's an important thing to remember. This
Absolutely.
Is, everyone is putting a lot into this. It's going to be amazing. The Wit of Molly Ivins, called The Red Hot Patriot. It will be this weekend, the 10th and 11th, which is Friday and Saturday, and the next weekend, Friday and Saturday, and then on Sunday the 19th at 3 p.m. It starts at 7:30 on the Friday and Saturday nights.
Yes.
at the Little Theater, and tickets are available at Eichardt's, Eve's, Leaves, Pedro's, and the Pondere Arts Council, and of course at the Panada.
Online, yes.
Online, panada.org. Well, good job, everyone. The co-producers, the director, and the actor of the play. We have Miriam Robinson and Patricia Walker-White and Ron Rigoni. Thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you so much. It's going to be a high-energy show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're going to go back into our Otto's Eclectic Mix for the rest of the day, and we certainly hope you enjoy your day. This is 88.5 KRFY, an appropriate song from the Sons of the Pioneer, So Long to the Red River Valley.